Professions and Economic Development Committee for this morning at Wednesday, August 29th. We have one bill on our agenda, AB 2084 by Assemblymember Kalra. Good morning, Assemblymember. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like, we are going to begin as a subcommittee.
Okay.
We haven't been able to establish a quorum as yet. So.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chair and members. Assembly Bill 2084, as amended, is a much narrower bill in scope, but it addresses the same issue we've been trying to tackle of ensuring integrity of court transcripts that have been improved many times by this committee over the past year. Specifically, the bill seeks to prohibit four specific laws and regulations applicable to protecting the integrity and impartiality of the court record by court reporters in a manner that does not advantage one party over another. Rather than authorizing the court reporters' board direct regulatory authority through firm registration on all court reporting laws and regulations, the amended bill only allows the board and public prosecutors to seek a civil action. It is the intent of AB 2084 to be a strong deterrent against the most egregious actions that compromise the neutral care of the court reporter's transcript. It should be noted that these four prohibited laws already apply to licensed court reporting entities, and while this bill may not be as comprehensive for some, it tries to get at the core of why I choose to carry this issue, ensuring the sanctity of the court record. And to be clear, we have removed the requirement for registration, which was the primary concern of the opposition. And as we know, the governor doesn't always like to expand registration and licensing programs. So this is a way for us to get to the heart of the issue without us requiring the more onerous registration, which would require far more of these out-of-state companies and reporters, court reporter companies, than these four requirements that just seek parity and, again, the sanctity of the record. AB 2084 is sponsored by the Court Reporters Board and supported by the California Court Reporters Association and the Deposition Reporters Association, and a tremendous amount of work has gone into it, and I appreciate all that have been at the table, and particularly the Court Reporters Board, who has vetted these recommendations, worked to help create these specific recommendations that moved us away from the more onerous registration. With me to provide supporting testimony and answer any technical questions is Yvonne Fenner, Executive Director of the Court Reporters Board, and I also have to my left Jim Gross for the Depositions Reporters Association.
Very good. Thank you. And before we move to your witness, if we could establish a quorum, would our assistant please call the roll?
Hill?
Here.
Hill here. Fuller?
Here.
Fuller here. Allen?
Here.
Allen here. Dodd?
Here.
Dodd here. Galgiani?
Here.
Galgiani here. Glazer?
Here.
Glazer here. Hernandez?
Here.
Hernandez here. Pan?
Here.
Pan here. Wilk.
We have established a quorum. It's amazing how a photo in the morning with the governor will get everyone here on time.
Oh, that's great.
Very good. Ms. Fenner, please proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Assemblymember Kalra, for the introduction, and thank you, Chair Hill and members of the committee, for the opportunity to speak to you about the importance of AB 2084 for the consumer. The court reporter's transcript is an important document before, during, and after the deposition or trial, and California legislators have painstakingly wrote into not just one area of the code, but numerous places in the law, neutrality, care of the record, and the accurate making of the official record. These laws were crafted to include details and specificity on exactly how the record should be handled to uphold the integrity of the judicial system. We are here before you because the board's mission to serve and protect the California consumer has been negatively impacted by a growing disregard for the existing laws by out-of-state, non-licensee-owned court reporting companies who oppose this and previous bills. Unlike other industry members who are following court reporting laws and ethics, a collection of out-of-state firms assert that they are not required to follow the laws of California. AB 2084 makes it clear that, at least with respect to the key laws governing the handling of transcripts, the California consumer will have some recourse in the case of a violation. These amendments are focused and present the essence from the prior draft of the bill that was heard, analyzed, and approved by the Business and Professions Committees earlier this year. Given the continued opposition to the law and the legislative efforts, it's clear that the national out-of-state firms have no intention to follow California law, as others are required to do, so this bill is needed. In fact, they will continue to fight hard to retain their unfair advantage by violating the law and falsely claim that the board is against them. But at the end of the day, the board is here to protect the consumers, and we support the underlying ethical principle of impartiality so that each party is treated equally and fairly. So to ensure the integrity, neutrality, and fairness of the judicial process, all of the litigants must be assured that the transcripts provided by court reporting servicers are honestly and accurately prepared and handled and delivered in accordance with the law. This is a hallmark of the industry and must not be compromised. We respectfully ask for your support of AB 2084 on behalf of the California consumer.
Thank you, Director Fenner. I appreciate that,
Mr. Gross. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Jim Gross on behalf of the Deposition Reporters Association. The only thing I will add is I have been before this committee on numerous occasions where the proposal was to address particular problems in a profession without subjecting all parties to a full regulatory process. And that is what this bill does. Rather than the previous legislation, which would have required registration and would have subjected the out-of-state firms to a full regulatory process, this simply sets forth what is prohibited. We think that's consistent with what the governor was considering in the veto, and it is consistent with many actions taken by this committee in the past. We ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Mr. Gross. Others in support?
Guerrero. The California Court Reporter Association. I want to thank the author, the board, and DRA for working together on this bill, and just ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez. Others in support? Anyone here in opposition? Mr. Pelote, good morning, please.
Mr. Chair and members, Mike Pelote on behalf of a coalition of deposition services firms. In opposition to the bill. We commend, and I want to be very clear, we commend Assembly Member Kalra and the sponsors for this new direction. We appreciate the pivot from the registration approach, and which we never thought was necessary or appropriate. The bill was amended Friday, and we had a chance to look at it a couple of days before that. And honestly, I think that the four prohibited practices are something we could come to agreement on. I disagree with the characterization of the board as that our clients are interested in evading the law. We're not. But the law ought to be clear, and the prohibitions ought to be understandable, and they ought to be as straightforward and capable of being followed as possible. With all due respect, all four of the prohibitions have issues relating to them that, given more time, I think could be worked out. For example, and this is not opposition for opposition's sake, and the problems are not trivial. I'll give you an example. The bill says it is a violation and you can be sued if a company gives a transcript to one party in advance of the other. It is common in this industry for there to be a date for production of the transcript, but then people can be offered and pay for an expedited process. And as long as that's offered to both sides, plaintiff and defense, there doesn't seem to be a problem with that. Would expediting, where one party pays extra and causes the system to create the transcript faster, be okay under the bill, or would it not? The bill says you may not provide services for only one party. Well, our companies provide services for only one party all the time. They do trial preparation services for one side in one case, another side in another case. It's unclear whether that would be permitted or not. So each of the four issues, and I won't go into it in excruciating detail, each of them needs refinement. The law ought to be clear if people are going to be subject to a penalty and court costs and attorney's fees. I told Mr. Kalra in good faith just this week that if we had a chance to work out this language over the fall, I think we can get there. I just don't think this is ready for prime time. Each of the four prohibitions needs work. But we are not interested in evading the law, and we appreciate the pivot away from the registration program. I think we can come to something here. It just isn't ready For that, we'd ask for a no vote.
Thank you, Mr. Belota. Others in opposition? Seeing no one, bringing it back here. You know, I had a question, if I could, of Director Fenner. You made a couple of comments in your statements. One is the obviously negatively impacted by out-of-state reporters who are, or firms that are negatively impacting the industry and those who are in-state, and then that there's a disregard by out-of-state entities, I think are the words you used. What's the extent of the problem? Do you get a lot of complaints from either other reporters who are concerned about the competition or someone doing something that doesn't fit into the standards that we have in California? Or are there consumers that have complained about this?
For the purposes of AB 2084, we've focused only on the complaints that we've gotten from the consumers, not from other court reporters. So we've kind of taken the questions of unfair competition out of this particular bill. In regard to the number of complaints that we get, we're a small board, we get few complaints, but 10% of the complaints that we get are from consumers that have had issues that are part of the bill that we have before us. So we took the top four complaints that we get about the out-of-state firms and tried to just address the ones that we get most frequently and seem to be the hardest on the consumer. So right now, when we get those complaints from the consumer, then we listen to the complaint. We say, oh, yes, that's a violation of the law. Then they tell us who it is that they want to complain against. And at that point, the board has to say, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do.
I see. And so you said top four complaints. So there 10% of the complaints are from, so how many, generally, annually, how many complaints do you receive?
We take formal complaints of about 100 to 120 per year.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Senator
I just
Allen.
I'd love to get a sense from the chair and the staff about this. I mean, there seem to be some significant changes that have been made to the bill, different arguments over the extent to which this is a narrowing or an expanding, but what's your evaluation of what we've heard here about the extent to which the negotiations have proceeded, and how are you thinking through? I mean, this is obviously very unusual. We're being pulled in the last week to hear some significant changes to a bill that we voted on a long time ago. I'd just love to get your perspective, Mr. Chair, on this.
Well, we looked at the amendments, and the clarity that we saw was there enough to move forward with the bill and to determine that the fact that the board next year is having sunset review, they will sunset at the end of next year, so they will be starting to evaluate their processes and their complaints and everything that they do. We thought it would be a good opportunity to allow the bill to move forward. That gets some working operational aspects and some regulatory environment of the bill, and then evaluate it next year to see if there are any real problems that are developed because of language that's there. I'm certain we heard from Mr. Belota on the concerns that he raised. We don't see that they're that substantial or significant that presents a problem.
And there's just literally no time to be able to figure out some of these differences in.
So this is actually not a dramatic change. I think that there's, because we list four specific things, I think it gives the impression that somehow we're adding these four specific things. That's not the case. What we're doing is we were previously requiring registration, which means complying with everything under registration that court reporters in California and licensed-owned firms had to comply with. So you have this massive regulatory requirements. We just pulled four things out of that massive regulatory requirement, which and that's how it narrows the bill. Rather than requiring regulation, we're just focusing on four of the items that create parity. And although any language you look at, there can be questions as to how it's interpreted, what have you, regulations have been in place for licensed-owned firms in California since 1951. And for years, firms in California have been abiding by this. This is the language pulled straight from the regulations. This is embedded language. It's language that's been used, understood. And if the out-of-state firms, need to learn how to interpret it, there are plenty of firms they can talk to in California that have been doing it for many, many years. These same out-of-state firms are regulated in those states where they where they're headquartered. If California firms want to go work in their states, they have to actually become regulated. So this is a much narrower ask and bill now with these amendments, and that's why these amendments, even though they're coming in the final few days, are not a dramatic shift. In fact, they are clearly a narrowing of what we were requiring just a week ago of these same firms.
And actually, when we were looking at the amendments, had the board required or had the legislation required registration, they would have to have followed these same.
These four plus these four points, many more.
Thank you. Mr. Bill, would you like to respond to that?
With all due respect, it is August 29th, and this bill has been in print only a few days. There are these four prohibitions. For example, on page 6, lines 3 through 7, it talks about failing to notify one party if there has been a request for a transcript from the other party, as articulated in Section 2475 of the Code of Regulations. If you look at that, they didn't have, it doesn't even quote it exactly. The regulation says you must notify to the extent reasonably possible. That isn't put in the statute. Again, I'm not attempting to trivialize or nitpick, but there are problems with each of the prohibitions which could be resolved if we had a little time to do it. So this isn't even an accurate recitation of the regulation.
Senator Allen?
Well, Senator Payne has a question. Go for it.
Senator Payne?
Thank you. Actually, just to clarify, and so one of the examples was given by the opposition is this issue of paying for an expedited transcript. Now, for the board, have there been complaints where one party has gotten a transcript and the other one has either not or had one that was significantly delayed? So providing a disadvantage to one party?
Yes, we have received those specific complaints that the other side, the client of the firm, got their transcript well in advance of the other one. Okay. We look at that. Don't just assume that there's wrongdoing on it. We need to investigate it.
Right.
Sometimes it's because the other side didn't pay for it. Well, they're not giving a free transcript. So once they work all of that out, then it's available. So it's not just because it's a simple act of one side got it before the other. It's much more detailed than that, and the board looks at that. So it's not, there's no expectation that it won't be handled as we've handled every other complaint of that nature.
Okay, and just to clarify, if one party pays for an expedited transcript, does the other one get a transcript?
It's been the board's position that the expedite fee is for preparation of the transcript in advance of the normal working time. And so that charge would go to whoever ordered it on an expedited basis.
And who would decide what's normal working time?
That's up to each individual firm. They work with the clients, and sometimes they'll say it's 5 days, it's 7 days, it's 10 days, it's 2 weeks. But each firm has their own working time.
So I guess one concern I have is that a wealthy party pays for an expedited copy, and the other one essentially gets one that's extremely delayed, which then would put them at a significant disadvantage.
No, if they've paid for the preparation of that expedite, then
I'm talking about one party's rich, and they can pay for an expedited contract,
right.
And the other side, because they can't pay for an expedited, because they don't have as much money, then doesn't get a transcript or gets one that's very, very delayed.
I'm sorry, I was unclear. So once that transcript is prepared,
yes.
Whoever paid the expedite fee, it's at that point available to all of the others.
So it has to be equally available.
Right.
And,
yes.
And actually, just to clarify, you said something about, you said about someone paid for an expedite contract, but it seemed like you're implying that both parties wouldn't get it at the same time still? I mean, I can understand if one party, but it should still be for fairness. Everyone should get the transcript at the same time. Now, if one party wants to pay for it to get it faster, so everyone can get it faster to speed things up, that's great. But I'm concerned if one party actually gets it and the other one doesn't, that's not fair.
Respectfully, I would suggest
that
these are the issues that ought to be worked through on the bill. There are policy questions here. That is not my understanding of how the process works. We could talk about how the process works and whether that this expediting process gives somebody an unfair advantage. But right now, both sides are, we're talking about civil litigation. Both sides are offered a transcript at a certain schedule. And one side says, I will pay extra, like getting a, something delivered faster, for the court reporter to stay up all night and do the transcript to get it to the party. I am told the party who pays the expedited fee gets it before the other.
Why?
Because they paid for extra faster service.
No, they can, if they want it faster, because for their own, but fairness means everyone should get access at the same time.
One party is paying more than the other for extra service. Now, that's what my what my clients tell me.
Okay.
But it's unclear in the law how it would work. And those things ought to be worked out so that the liability for violations is clear.
But this is what this bill is designed to do, is create that equity. Right now, the out-of-state firms, there's no accountability, and there's no enforcement ability.
No requirement.
And so the law, through discovery laws, civil, certainly in criminal, transcripts are, should be made available at the same time. If someone wants to pay to expedite it, that's their prerogative. But once the transcript's done, I worked 11 years as a trial attorney. Once the transcript's done, and it's a transcript that is legally available to both parties, it should be made available at the same time. It doesn't, expedite fees are, these aren't unsettled questions. These are very settled questions in California. Expedite fees are charged in accordance with existing law. AB 2084 makes no changes to allowable use. It's long been the published opinion of the board, the party expediting production of the transcript may be charged an expedite fee. This is settled. The thing that's not settled is out-of-state companies don't have to abide by that because we have no enforcement tools.
Ms. Fenner, did you want to make some
clarification? Very clear that the board has been advised by our legal counsel that is exactly the way it's intended to work. There's one fee for expediting the production, and then that transcript is available at that point for everyone. And that has been published. It's for years and years, and it's on our board website. So that is nothing new.
Mr. Hernandez, did you have a comment? I think it's clarified.
But. Yeah, she clarified it, and we were just going to say this discussion's been interesting, but it's current law. And so all of these have been resolved. And in fact, as I think as Mr. Kaur stated, the bill for this entire two-year session has been registration, meaning that you have to follow every single law. So this was one of the laws that they would have to follow. So it is exactly what Mr. Kaur said. They were aware of this law. They're aware of this requirement. It's very clear. I apologize. Our witness who's in court got stuck in court, and so she's been texting me and saying, it's the law. We all need to follow the law as licensed court reporters. So it's... this isn't nothing new, and it's not a surprise, even though it's late. This has been one of the requirements contained in the bill for the last 2 years.
And this is the standard that sounds like what you testified to is in the bill. And
everything in the bill is cross-referenced from the regulations. That's been existing law for many, many years. It's been part of the conversation since last year with this bill. Again, we are narrowing the bill. This is a better bill for the opposition than a week ago. Far better, because it does not require registration.
And I think that's been the conclusion of the committee and the staff as well in looking at the legislation. And that's why with sunset review next year, we'll be able to see if there are the concerns that Mr. Belote raised from the out-of-state reporters that and companies that need to be either tweaked or referred, as we do with most legislation, to see if there's some corrections that need to happen. Yes, Senator Glaser.
You're comfortable moving the bill.
I am comfortable moving the bill.
I move make the motion.
Thank you very much, Senator Glaser. Are there questions or concerns? Would you like to close?
Yeah, and I would say this, Mr. Chair and members, that right now, because these rules don't apply to out-of-state, I can understand the concern they have. Once they apply to them, then they'll have some standing to be able to say, hey, you know, we want to provide some feedback. Maybe the way it's been done for the last 10, 20 years, we don't like it. We think it could be done differently. Well, that's great. Now they'll have a voice at the table because now it's going to apply to them. And so until we get parity, I think it's unfair to the many, many firms that have been complying for many, many years already by the rules that are very clear rules to then say, well, we need to talk about the rules. Well, yeah. Once we get parity, then certainly. But the rules, as you mentioned, Mr. Chair, you know, next year, the sunset review, there's plenty of opportunity for us to further evaluate. And with that, I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Very good. Thank you very much. We do have a motion from Senator Glaser. Please call the roll.
Motion is that the measure be returned to the Senate floor. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Fuller?
No.
Fuller, no. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glaser?
Aye.
Glaser, aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk.
We have 8 votes. The bill will get out. We'll hold the roll open for the absent members. Thank you very much, Mr. Calra. Thank you. Thank you.
To 1, Wilk?
No.
Wilk, no.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Everyone else voted.
Very good. The vote is 7-2. That bill is out. Thank you very much. This, the committee hearing is adjourned.